Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. There were fewer jobs added to the U.S. economy last month, paving the way for a possible larger-than-expected interest rate cut later this month. ABC's Elizabeth Schulze.
This jobs report is pivotal for the Federal Reserve as it prepares to cut interest rates this month for the first time in 4 years. The Fed hopes that it can prevent a more drastic slowdown in the jobs market by lowering the cost of borrowing money for businesses and for consumers. The Fed is widely expected to cut rates by a quarter of a percentage point in less than 2 weeks.
This new report might mean a half-point cut, but they'll say they have to wait and see. The father of 14-year-old's alleged school shooter in Georgia, Colt Gray, has just left court. He is facing multiple charges, including second-degree murder. Police say he's the one who gave his son the gun used in the Georgia shootings. Colt Gray, charged with 4 counts of murder, had his initial court appearance earlier today as well. Both father and son will remain behind bars without bail. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More official prison time for the Waukesha Christmas Parade attacker. A judge in Milwaukee yesterday sentenced Daryl Brooks to 9 years for running over the mother of his children just weeks before he used the same vehicle to kill 6 people at the Christmas parade. Brooks is serving 6 consecutive life sentences for the infamous attack. Democratic vice presidential candidate Tim Walz tells Civic Media's Chad Holmes what it took to win 6 terms in a Republican-leaning U.S. House district.
I've learned how to compromise without compromising my values. I don't believe I have cornered the market on all the good ideas, and I don't believe you get your way only.
More with Walz on the Chad Holmes Show at 9 on WXCO Radio in Wausau or on the Civic Media app. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A thrift store that had served Superior residents for over 15 years has announced it will soon be closing its doors. According to a Fox 21 report, the owners of Earth Exchange say they're dealing with some health challenges and are now looking to sell the whole business. They announced the impending closure on Sunday, but have yet to announce when their official last day of business will be. The thrift shop first opened in 2008, and the owners say they're hoping that someone will take over the business to keep it running. Property values are on the rise after a citywide assessment in Superior. According to a Northern News Now report, some residents say their property values rose by as much as 50-60% as the last citywide assessment was done in 2005. Many residents also expressed concerns over rising property taxes following the new assessment, but city officials say because values spiked for almost everyone, a large tax increase will not follow. Superior residents can also contact the city to appeal their home's new assessed value. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The NFL season is underway. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Last night, the Kansas City Chiefs defeated the Baltimore Ravens 27-20. Tonight, it'll be the Green Bay Packers taking on the Philadelphia Eagles in Brazil to open up the Packers campaign. Quarterback Jordan Love is ready to go this season.
I definitely think it's a very cool opportunity to be able to play in front of a fan base who a lot of those people might not have seen an NFL game, might be the first NFL game, so I'm excited for it.
Kickoff tonight is after 7 p.m. You can hear the game on WRJN in southeastern Wisconsin, WRCO in southwestern Wisconsin, and WCQM in northern Wisconsin. Today is the start of a 3-game homestand for the Brewers as they take on the Colorado Rockies. Milwaukee leads the NL Central by 9 games over the Chicago Cubs entering play today. The Brewers have lost 3 of their last 4 games, all of them in extra innings. And tonight is the 3rd week of high school football in Wisconsin. Check your local Civic Media station for matchups. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to feel a little like fall here for a couple of days. Today, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-60s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop down into the upper 30s to low 40s. Tomorrow, sunshine, mid to upper 60s, and then mostly sunny. Back to the mid to upper 70s by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 50.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on Lake Air 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WLAK and on the Civic Media app.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, political editor of Civic Media and Recombobulation founder Dan Schaefer joins us, and Todd Michaels with Ghost Stories.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
I'm going out of my head. Yes, I think I'm going out of my head. Over you.
I thought only Little Anthony and the Imperials were the only ones who ever sang that.
Well, apparently down in Brazil, they decided to pick this song up and change its beat.
It's the first time I ever heard it outside of Little Anthony and Imperials. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams. And so in response to...
And before we play this, let's just correct. A previous caller talked about Kamala Harris having a proposal. I think he said that there was going to be, her proposal was for a $125,000 grant for down payments to immigrants. What her proposal says is that she wants to facilitate $25,000 to first generation homeowners. Now, a first generation homeowner means the first generation in a family to own a home. And we have plenty of American citizens whose family has never owned a home who will be first generation homeowners, along with first-generation Americans who would fall into the same category. But in any case, it wasn't $125,000. It was $25,000. And the flesh has yet to be put on the bone exactly how that $25,000 is facilitated to the homeowner, whether it's a tax credit or what it is, has not yet been defined. But that's a fairly specific proposal as compared to the back-of-the-arm discussions. Well, we'll listen to them now, but the difference between, I think, the flesh on the bone that Kamala Harris has put with respect to proposals and the complete ambiguity with respect to problem solutions as discussed by her opponent.
So, Sandy, what you just said were facts.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
They were facts.
Yeah.
Let's go, and Calvin, if you please. Calvin's going to play, Donald Trump excerpts from speeches that Donald Trump and ramblings that he has been doing over the last weeks or so, that really kind of incoherency that you can tell that there's something going on with Donald Trump. You judge for yourself. Calvin, if you please.
The transgender thing is incredible. Think of it. Your kid goes to school and comes home a few days later with an operation. The school decides what's going to happen with your child. And, you know, many of these childs 15 years later say, what the hell happened? Who did this to me?
The real radicals on that issue are the Democrats, where you can have an abortion in the ninth month. And in six states, you're allowed to kill the baby after the baby is born. The execution of a baby, because that's not abortion, that's the execution of a baby.
You could actually execute the baby after birth.
The wind, it kills our birds. If you want to see a bird cemetery, go under a windmill sometime.
They do kill a hell of a lot of birds.
Why do they love it? It kills all the birds.
Well, you know, the thing about all of those things is they aren't true, okay? They're incoherent. I mean, the question, what was he asked about? What led into that discussion? Nothing, okay? But you can go to windmills and you won't find piles of birds. Your kid is not in danger of having a transgender operation at school, okay?
Are you sure?
Well, they're not doing that, okay? And so, you know, this is the kind of stuff, it's all designed, I guess, to evoke images in people's mind or fear, but it's total poppycock. I mean, and so my point, I don't know, I think everyone will reach their own conclusion about someone's capacities when they watch them and listen to them, but I think people ought to seriously think about listening to what Donald Trump says and realizing that his psychosis with respect to his grip on reality and his willingness to be far-fetched has gotten worse. I mean, the far-fetchedness of of his discussions. And, you know, he talks at one point, I don't think we're going to play it, but there's a video of him talking about how he weaves, the brilliance of his weaving, and how he's got English professors who have told him that when he talks and he rambles and he puts it out here and he goes this direction and that direction, and it's brilliant. Let me tell you, people tell me it's brilliant. And he says, I can talk for 2 hours and they don't pronounce words. Well, there is no word like childs, okay? Those childs, he says. So, I mean, this is a person who's definitely losing a grip on at least a reality that we should all be focused on in terms of whether we want this person to have the red button in his hand that's the football.
You know, Sandy, and people probably wouldn't even be going there if they didn't mercilessly do what they did to Joe Biden. Okay, they constantly talked about Joe Biden's slippage, and they made it a major issue every time.
Well, I think it's because if you just look at vigor, okay, Joe Biden didn't have the physical vigor
right.
that Donald Trump seems to have. I mean, he didn't do the twist. He wasn't that good at doing that thing. But this is more a question of reliability. This is more a
cognitive
question and I'm not talking about dementia. I'm talking about this. Should this person with this personality and this personality disorder, this one that is totally extended away from the truth and facts and relies on hyperbole and far-fetchedness, which might be a word, and if it isn't, I made it up. we had some more to play maybe too, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, we do. But let's bring Brendan in first. He's been waiting a while. Go ahead, Brendan. You say what?
Yeah, I think it's funny. You use the term starting to notice with Donald Trump. Hasn't it been 4 years of us noticing that this guy's out of his brain? He makes statements like, for instance, at a town hall meeting with his buddy Hannity over there at Fox about how Kamala had notes during the questioning on CNN, and then CNN comes up and everybody comes up with a picture of her sitting at a table. There's no notes. Dana Bash had notes and a cup of coffee next to her, and that was it. Then we had the DOJ yesterday come out and go, hey, look, everybody, we found $10 million worth of Russian money that's getting passed around to all these GOP MAGA influencers. And guess what? We got some people that are online passing out bad messaging. So, I mean, the whole thing, like with CJ and his pointless blabber and his talking points, it's all delusion. And when you look at these rallies and you see these people sitting in their chairs, all I'm sorry, and I am a Caucasian person, all I see is a bunch of angry white people. I'm sorry. That's all I see. And they're ready to buy into whatever garbage the MAGA group is ready to put
hey,
out.
Hey, Brendan.
But I'm glad that the DOJ's gotten their hands wrapped around this.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the call. Calvin, you want to play the next cut?
If you win in November, can you commit to prioritizing legislation to make childcare affordable? And if so, what specific piece of legislation will you advance?
Well, I would do that, and we're sitting down. You know, I was somebody. We had Senator Marco Rubio, and my daughter Ivanka was so impactful on that issue. It's a very important issue. But I think when you talk about the kind of numbers that I'm talking about, that because, look, child care is child care. It's couldn't, you know, there's something you have to have it. In this country, you have to have it. But when you talk about those numbers compared to the kind of numbers that I'm talking about by taxing foreign nations at levels that they're not used to, but they'll get used to it very quickly. And it's not going to stop them from doing business with us, but they'll have a very substantial tax when they send product into our country. Those numbers are so much bigger than any numbers that we're talking about, including child care, that it's going to take care. We're going to have, I look forward to having no deficits within a fairly short period of time, coupled with the reductions that I told you about on waste and fraud and all of the other things that are going on in our country, because I have to stay with child care. I want to stay with child care, but those numbers are small relative to the kind of economic numbers that I'm talking about, including growth, but growth also headed up by what the plan is that I just told you about. We're going to be taking in trillions of dollars, and as much as child care is talked about as being expensive, it's relatively speaking not very expensive compared to the kind of numbers we'll be taking in. We're going to make this into an incredible country that can afford to take care of its people, and then we'll worry about the rest of the world. Let's help other people. But we're going to take care of our country first. This is about America first. It's about make America great again. We have to do it because right now we're a failing nation. So we'll take care of it. Thank you.
Calvin, let that play. Let that play.
The applaud at the end. After he's like falling all over, he does a Simone Biles dismount. MAGA. You get all that? Remember, the question was, what specific piece of legislation will you advance to keep child care costs down? Okay. Now, again,
just let it keep rolling.
Here's the Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris. She's the Democratic nominee. Here she is with her specific plan to help offset the cost of child care.
Under my plan, more than 100 million Americans will get a tax cut. And we will do this by restoring two tax cuts designed to help middle class and working Americans. The Earned Income Tax Credit. The child tax credit. Through which millions of Americans with children got to keep more of their hard-earned income. So as president, I'll not only restore that tax cut, but expand it. We will provide $6,000 in tax relief to families during the first year of a child's life.
Hey, Sandy, so what I want you to do on the other side, and we're going to go to the phone lines, no question, is point out the difference between a plan and that gibberish.
Well, you know, that word salad. The question is oil and vinegar or balsamic and what? What kind of dressing do you want? But, I mean, and I want to unbundle a little of what he says, because his broad promise is all premised on getting a whole bunch of revenue in the door and balancing the budget. He made that same promise in 2016 about balancing the budget and ended up with the biggest deficit ever in over a four-year period of time. And his promise about achieving revenue from his various methods, mainly the tariff, we should talk about it on the other side of beef because it's a totally false promise.
So, guys, hang on the phone lines. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll continue this discussion.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Standing up for everyday Americans is at the very foundation of who Kamala Harris is. Raised in a middle-class home by a working mother who instilled in her a passion for justice and equality. That's why when Kamala Harris became district attorney, she stood up for our kids, keeping them safe by prosecuting sex offenders. She also pioneered a program to give nonviolent drug offenders a second chance. As president, Kamala Harris will continue the fight for everyday Americans. She's already lowered the cost of your health insurance and medications. Insulin is now capped at $35 for seniors. But there's more to do, because mortgages, rents, groceries, and utility bills are still too high. Harris's plan to fix it? Build more homes to lower prices and make the wealthy and billionaires pay their fair share, so we get a break. All her life, Kamala Harris has been standing up for us. And she doesn't plan to stop anytime soon.
I'm Kamala Harris, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Harris for President.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Sandy, the music.
Brazilian music. The Packers play tonight in, can you believe it, Brazil. And so I was just, this is some music warm-up for tonight's Packers-Eagle game.
I've kind of always, that music, again, it takes me back to the early 60s.
Yeah, there was a period in the 60s where Brazil 66, must have been 1966, I would guess, was the time for that. Astrid Gilberto, who was just the singer in that one, was a pretty big star at the time. Yeah, people were fascinated with the bossa nova.
Yes.
Yeah.
Blame it on the bossa nova with his magic spells. Blame it on the bossa nova, what we did so well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what?
Hey, good morning, guys. What a beautiful Friday morning. Thanks for taking my call,
yeah,
as always. You know, I was provoked to call in during your interview with Mandela Barnes. And it really has to do with fundraising and activities. And I don't know how you do this. Maybe, you know, we can have a deeper discussion on this. But yeah, I've had, you know, we just went through the holidays last weekend. We went to a couple of barbecues. You know, we probably talked to 40 or 50 good close friends and family members, and I was interested in what they thought about today's political ads that really are saturating our airwaves and our TV. And not one said that they were getting any good information, any new information. And I would say 90% of them were just getting turned off because we're not being told the message. So I would hope that somewhere down the line, I don't care what side of the aisle someone's standing on, don't we need and shouldn't we insist that if corporations or people in money speech, that there is some truthfulness that has to come out of it? It's so hard to listen to specifically ads about a quote-unquote wide open border that isn't, from a woman who lost her son in 2010 in Texas, as it says on the headstone on the ad, and yet is blaming Kamala Harris for the loss of her son. You know, that's not even politics in the mud. That's something worse. It's an outright lie. To me, it's slanderous and libelous. And I would hope that we can, you know, turn that around so we don't have to listen. And CJ maybe isn't exposed to absolute nonsense and lies. You know, we have to somehow get truth to power back into the message. We have to learn what we need to know from the media, not what they want to tell us. And until we do that, I'm afraid we're going to be spinning around in circles, hoping and praying, you know, for something different that never will happen. I want to get your feedback.
I think it's well said, Mike. Sandy?
Well, that's the problem. Political ads have always, for a long time, deviated a long way from being informative to simply being inflammatory and trying to sort of inflame people's thoughts about the other side. And it would be much better if what they talked about was what they were proposing themselves. I think there is some effort on the part of the Harris campaign to be doing that. I wanted to finish unbundling a little bit about what Donald Trump had to say, because his biggest promise is that he's going to impose tariffs on all these foreign countries. And it's going to be a tax on all these countries, and they're going to get used to paying it. Well, first of all, it's a demonstrated fact that a significant percentage, 80, 90%, of the tariffs that are levied, the tariff amount is added on to the price of the product in the United States, and that therefore the tariff is not paid by the seller, it's paid by the United States consumer of it. So it's a tax on the American buyer. And the only thing that the tariff might do is reduce the number of products that are demanded by the American buyer because of that increase in price. But the other problem with it is that not only does the price of the tariff good go up, but the price of all the American-produced products that compete with it go up as well. So it's inflationary, bad for the economy, and it's not going to derive trillions of dollars of revenue. It's certainly not going to derive enough revenue to offset the $5 trillion of tax reductions that Donald Trump is also promising wealthy people as well as corporations. Additional tax reductions for both of them. So, in fact, the fact is that Goldman Sachs a couple of days ago came out with a report in which they said Donald Trump's worse if he gets elected and does the things he says he wants to do. It's going to be worse for the economy than if Kamala Harris gets elected and does the things she says she's going to do, because the things she says she's going to do is going to build up the middle class and build up consumption, and the things Donald Trump says he's going to do is going to be highly inflationary, and it's not going to benefit the middle class.
All right, let's go to Gene from McClara. Gene, good morning.
Well, good morning to you guys. I have to tell you that I was sound asleep, and this woodpecker picked a little bit more, and then it started hammering on my house. I got up, and then he left. And then I turned you guys on, and I heard the man who always calls and keeps using the same thing about immigrants and everybody else but the guy who should not be in that office, and that's Donald J. Trump. That guy is so out of touch with reality. You can see it. You can hear it. He does not. They should put up big barricades that man can't go inside that Capitol ever, ever again. And he shouldn't be in the White House, because wake up, folks. This ain't an act. This is who he is. And there are plenty of psychologists and people with mental health backgrounds, that's my mental health background, are saying he needs help. He shouldn't be out there spewing all kinds of things, but the guy needs help. And the sad thing of it is all of the people that are around him and support him, now they're not really speaking out. But see, they got their guy there. They got a guy who can be manipulated by, guess who? The man we all love, Putin, or Kim Jong-un, or all the people that he want to be. And when he was in office, he showed those same tendencies, and he's worse now. He wanted parades for himself. He couldn't look at any notes. They had to bear it down to the brief thing when they gave him briefings. Wake up, folks. This guy, wake up. You went... hire him to take care of your kids. Thank you very much, and you guys have a good day.
Hey, Gene, thank you very much. On the other side, we're going to talk a little bit about the horrific shooting in the schools in Georgia. 844-967-2789.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden is calling for bipartisan action on gun safety after Wednesday's mass shooting at a school in Georgia.
Some of my Republican friends in Congress just finally have to say enough is enough. We have to do something. Together, let's ban assault weapons. Let's require safe storage of firearms.
Biden made the remarks in Wisconsin yesterday while announcing a $7 billion investment to generate renewable energy in rural America. Marathon swimmer Jim Dreyer has given up on his latest attempt to swim from Michigan to Milwaukee. Dreyer spent about 40 hours in the water before throwing in the towel. He says the water wasn't cooperating. It's Dreyer's second unsuccessful attempt since going the distance back in 1998. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A new child care facility is planned in Duluth as the city looks to address the growing child care crisis. Through a partnership between the Duluth Child Care Task Force, Essentia Health, and the Benedictine Sisters of St. Scholastica Monastery, a new housing project will contribute to solving both the child care crisis and issues with the lack of affordable housing. The Brayview Senior Housing Project at 5th Avenue East and 5th Street will feature 72 affordable apartments for seniors and a daycare for up to 100 kids. A Duluth school entered its new secure protocol on Thursday morning as law enforcement authorities conducted a welfare check in the surrounding area. According to school officials, Denfield High School's secure protocol is not a full lockdown, so normal operations can continue inside while security staff shut down entrances and exits. Police officials say they were not able to locate the man who was the subject of the welfare check, nor did they share what prompted the check. The protocol was lifted shortly after. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Schwabba. America's sweetheart, Haley Welch, is about to launch a new podcast. Wondering who Haley Welch is? She's also known as the Hawktua Girl, who has Hawktua'd her way into our hearts. In addition to being a guest on several other podcasts, introducing a line of merch, and starting a fan club, which you can join for the low, low cost of $200, she is now launching a podcast to, as she says, tell her side of the story. You mean there's more than just Hawktua? The podcast will be produced by Jake Paul's company. The Hawktua Girls podcast will likely be a step up. Twilight is back in animated form. The show will drop on Netflix and tell the Twilight story from Edward Cullen's perspective as the character played by Robert Pattinson. The story is based on Stephanie Meyer's 2020 novel, Midnight Sun, which reimagines the Twilight story from a different angle. Meyer wrote the original Twilight books in the early 2000s, which were turned into the hit movie franchise. The Twilight movies have grossed over $3.5 billion worldwide. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It is going to feel a little like fall here for a couple of days. Today, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-60s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop down into the upper 30s to low 40s. Tomorrow, sunshine, mid to upper 60s, and then mostly sunny, back to the mid to upper 70s by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 52.
Matt Nair on air.
You know, Greg Bach, I think it is time. I need a little time away.
Jane, are you going on vacation?
Yes, I am going on vacation. I feel confident. You're going to do a great job. You got Calvin.
Wait, I'm hosting?
Yes, dear, you're going to be hosting.
I thought you were taking me with you. Okay, I guess I will host the show in your stead. Thank you very much.
I trust you.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Peach Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Dom Salvia, who joins me to talk about his new show here on Civic Media. And it's a bar band Friday night as Max Inc's Terry Barr brings new music and sparkling conversation.
Nightlight with Peach Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Dig. Somebody.
All right, welcome back to Brazil.
Brazil.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. A lot of things that we've been talking about. Sandy, I want to go back to CJ.
Well, I just wanted to clarify. Go ahead. I did some quick research to try and figure out what CJ was talking about last time he called in. Apparently, it was California legislature was considering, they have a program that does involve $125,000, not grants, they aren't giving the money. They facilitate some kind of a second loan process for first-time home buyers. And at least the way the New York Post covered it, it was suggestive that the legislature, the bill passed by the legislature in California, not the U.S. legislature, not Kamala Harris's program, might be available to people who were in this country without having achieved citizen status. The New York Post called them illegal immigrants. This thing hasn't been passed into law in California and is not in any way a part of Kamala Harris's program. Her program is a $25,000 program, as she explicitly has identified.
Those, my friend, are the facts.
Those are the facts.
All right, CJ, go ahead.
Well, thanks again for taking my call. But,
you just heard the facts. What's your response to the facts?
And
had nothing to do with Kamala Harris.
Immigrants.
Nothing to do with Kamala Harris.
Yeah. Yes, it is, Sandy. Okay, I'm trying to talk, Earl. You just talk over me.
Yeah, because you're not being truthful. Kamala Harris is not involved in this whatsoever.
Stood for. And she says her values. What's important in her 18-minute one-time interview, don't you think the voters deserve to know the truth?
They're going to find out. Well, I think they're going to find out Wednesday at a debate.
Well, I think it's interesting that you want to rely on values and you want to say that you want to interpret her values are. That's a very unusual process to project to someone else and to tell me what her values are. She's describing her values. Apparently, her value with respect to first-generation home ownership involves a $25,000 facilitated program, which I'm confident is some kind of second mortgage and not a direct grant. It might be a tax credit. But in any case, it's an explicit, verbalized expression of a policy. It's not a promise that things will be so wealthy that the government will have so much revenue that we won't have any more deficits anymore. And we'll have plenty of money for child care because we really have to take care of childs. Do you really want the nation to focus on values and do you want them to focus on Donald Trump's values? You would say that Donald Trump's value is America first, but America first has to be translated into actual policies, okay? And that's where the rubber hits the road.
And you know what? When Donald Trump left office, what do you think, people pay for child care out of their pocket? And inflation, he promises to lower inflation.
No, he doesn't promise. Wait a minute. He says that he will get rid of inflation, but the policies that he has announced, all of them with respect to his financial policies, taking over the Federal Reserve and having it be controlled by the president, having a $5 trillion tax reduction, and having substantially higher tariffs implemented, all of those are inflationary policies. And Wall Street has decided that they are inflationary policies and is actually talking about that.
Well, can I finish a sentence, please, Sandy, without you and Earl interrupting me? The mere fact that Kamala and Joe Biden's policies has caused the inflation 19.6% over their 3 years has been the reason why people can't afford groceries, childcare, gas.
Well,
and the mere fact.
Let's unbundle that. You've gotten far enough into that. The things that have caused inflation, you can wave your arm and say that it's the government policies of Joe Biden that caused the inflation. All you can really say is that the inflation occurred during Joe Biden's presidency. The reasons when economists try to unbundle what it is that caused the inflation include Donald Trump's massive tax reduction during a period of boom, which was likely to have an inflationary effect in the future when the tax reduction came into play. It also had to do with the pent-up demand of the pandemic, which was experienced worldwide, which when the pandemic ended up with having a substantial worldwide inflation, which was exacerbated by the Ukrainian war and the change in the cost of oil and gas that was precipitated by that war. Now, those are facts that relate to the cause of the inflation. And the inflation that was experienced was worldwide, okay? It wasn't just in the United States. And there are not people in Germany and in England and in France pointing the finger at Joe Biden saying, you caused our inflation.
You know, that's why I challenge you to a debate anytime, because you just talked, because I can dispute every fact that pointed out.
Go ahead, CJ. Yeah, go ahead. dispute the fact about the pandemic pent-up demand.
You ever heard of Larry Summers?
Is that a fact? Larry Summers said that he thought that that substantial government expenditures could be inflationary. That's true. And I don't deny that the two substantial bills passed by the Biden administration had the potential to add to inflationary pressures, and in particular, probably the act which was the infrastructure bill. But the infrastructure bill was an investment in the United States. In the United States, broadly speaking, it was not simply a tax reduction that was inflationary like Donald Trump's. This was a different kind of inflationary expenditure. Tax reductions are inflationary. They just aren't expenditures by the government, okay? The expenditures by the government in the infrastructure bill might have had an inflationary pressure included within them, but they have involved a substantial improvement in the infrastructure in the country. And incidentally, the inflation that we did experience is now gone, okay? We're down below 3%. The Federal Reserve is now in a position where it's going to be reducing interest rates, and we have erased inflation faster than the rest of the world.
So, CJ, here's the issue. You are arguing with an economist, and you are saying that somebody else said, and it just doesn't end up well when you're going to argue with an economist and you're not an economist yourself.
Well, no, let's not go there. But, I mean, the fact is that reciting whatever Larry Summers says isn't a fact. It's simply an opinion. And everyone agreed with the fact that substantial government expenditures, when they are not fully funded, if they are deficit funded, are inflationary. Well, how big a deficit was run during Trump's administration?
It
was
$7 trillion.
Yeah, it was immensely inflationary.
In 4 years.
And inflation doesn't kick in immediately. Inflation after deficits has a fuse built into it.
So is it safe to say, Sandy, then, that based on what we saw with Trump's policies after he was gone, $7 trillion, and he's talking about doubling down on what he did before.
And eliminating deficits.
So anyway, thank you very much for the call, CJ. Let's go to David from Mequon. Good morning, David.
Good morning, gentlemen. Really quickly, I just want to remind people that the federal government is collecting the most revenue that it's ever accumulated. It's over $5 trillion. You can look at it in the U.S. debt clock. We are unfortunately spending $7 trillion. And I'm sure if you look at the U.S. debt clock, and it's telling, in order to decrease the inflation, we did have to raise the interest rates. The interest on our debt now is larger by, I think, almost $40 billion than what we spend in the military. It's actually surpassed what we spend on the U.S.
Well,
military.
just to correct, it's not
biggest ticket
that,
item.
That's not exactly interest. That's debt service, okay, which has a substantial interest component in it. But That's okay. I'm just correcting because the debt service involves repayment of the debt as well as the interest on the debt. But there's, you're right. The debt service bill has gone up as the result of the increased interest rate during the period of inflation. Happily, from that standpoint, the government has got the interest rates down, and that is also reducing or at least putting the trend for the interest rate on the federal debt in a downward direction as well.
Well, the inflation is coming down for a variety of reasons. One, we're not shelling out trillions of dollars of unfunded additional dollars like we were at the beginning of the Biden.
Well, actually, we let me just correct that. We aren't doing quantitative easing. We're undoing quantitative easing, which has a deflationary effect. Okay, so the government bought its own debt and the debt of others, and it's now been reselling that debt into the market and getting and essentially cutting down on the inventory in the government of the debt that it holds of its own debt and the debt of others, which has a deflationary effect. So actually, in a way, the quantitative easing program, when we get out of it, is still an economic tool to solve a problem. And it has the effect actually of shrinking the dollars when you turn around and sell them. So it's an interesting phenomena, and the quantitative easing was a new tool designed at the
during
time of the 2008
right.
Recession. But there's no question that financial and fiscal discipline is needed in Washington, and the issue really becomes, what do we do about this? Don't we have to increase revenue, and don't we have to reevaluate where we spend money? And I think you agree with both of those premises, don't you? We've got to get closer to balancing our budget by looking at the revenue stream and looking at the places where we spend money.
I think Dave wants to see it cut.
No.
Dave, go ahead, Dave.
Let me just throw this at you. So if you remember, the alternative minimum tax was enacted, decades ago. And that was only for the highest earners in the United States. Consequently, when we had the Tax Reduction Act, that was temporarily discarded because millions of normal day Americans were paying into the AMT tax. Now, Kamala Harris, what she is proposing is, taxing unrealized gains, which is just basically paper. If something goes up in value, even if they don't sell it, they're going to be taxed. The problem is, what happens when that goes down? They're going to essentially, the U.S. government could potentially, because you have huge swings with corporations and very wealthy people, where the IRS would have an instability of cash because they, let's say the filing year, let's say Elon Musk, on paper, unrealized gain loses $50 billion or $60 billion.
Yeah, does he get does he get a loss to adjust against his taxes? Look, what the government does have to come to grips with is what to do with the super wealthy, with their capacity to obtain liquidity without achieving taxable income. Many of the super wealthy are borrowing money, okay, and using that cash as their source of liquidity and never getting income. And I do think that what the government needs to look into is ways to attack that issue, because the process is currently being gamed, okay? And that unrealized gain, if it goes all the way through to the death of the owner, essentially never gets taxed.
So, Dave, 844-967-2789 is the number. Hang on a second, Dave. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Standing up for everyday Americans is at the very foundation of who Kamala Harris is. Raised in a middle-class home by a working mother who instilled in her a passion for justice and equality. That's why when Kamala Harris became district attorney, she stood up for our kids, keeping them safe by prosecuting sex offenders. She also pioneered a program to give nonviolent drug offenders a second chance.
As president, Kamala Harris will continue the fight for everyday Americans. She's already lowered the cost of your health insurance and medications. Insulin is now capped at $35 for seniors. But there's more to do, because mortgages, rents, groceries, and utility bills are still too high. Harris's plan to fix it? Build more homes to lower prices and make the wealthy and billionaires pay their fair share so we get a break. All her life, Kamala Harris has been standing up for us. And she doesn't plan to stop anytime soon.
I'm Kamala Harris, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Harris for president.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
All right, welcome back to what is the last few minutes of the Macarena.
Yeah, but the interesting thing is, who's doing this?
was that in the 90s?
Well, I'm not sure Macarena actually is a Brazilian song, but when I was thinking about South American music, I had to think about that. That actually, if we'd gone far enough, that was Elmo, that was the Muppets.
Oh, and I think the Macarena.
Yeah, Macarena.
Might have been in the 90s
or
something.
Yeah, it was in the 90s.
Man, how long ago was that? Okay, so Dave, let me ask you, are you, Dan, saying that, you know, Sandy talked about the revenue. You began your conversation about we are taking in more revenue than we've ever taken in before. So what are you proposing, that we cut some programs?
What I'm saying, you know, so this is, we should be encouraging people to invest and continue to grow the pie, so to speak.
Many people don't have enough money, man, to even make it. How are they going to invest?
Well, I think he's talking about corporations investing?
Well, basically, or even people that are essentially that want to start up a small business. I mean, small business and medium-sized businesses are the biggest producers of
jobs.
Jobs in the United States.
Yeah, and Kamala Harris' program she announced yesterday was all about finding ways to fund up to $400,000, I think, of government subsidized or at least supported or advantaged funding processes for small businesses. And what's interesting, I was talking to Earl about this before the show, is that cutting corporate taxes actually has an invidious effect. One of the returns that people measure when they make an investment is the tax benefit they achieve by making the investment. And with the tax revisions that occurred under Trump, what they set up was 100% expensing for capital investment. So if a company makes $1 billion investment in a year, they will get $1 billion, and it's in capital that would normally be depreciated over 10 years, so that they would get $100 million deduction each year. What really happens now is that they get $1 billion deduction in year one. And so one of the benefits of making that deduction is getting the $1 billion tax deduction. But the size of that value is determined by the tax rate. You get a bigger value from $1 billion avoidance of tax if the tax rate is 30% than you do if the tax rate is 20%. So when you decrease the corporate tax rate, you actually reduce the tax incentive that is achieved by making investments.
So I would look at it this way. If you hypothetically, let's say that she does raise the corporate tax rate, she is successful in that. I always look at in a microcosm as to what's happening to our neighbors to the south in Chicago. You look at California, you look at the exodus of companies. They're leaving. Morton Salt has announced they're leaving Chicago. And, you know, part of the reason being is that, keep in mind, wealthy people can move their money anywhere they want to. They don't have to necessarily stay
corporations,
in that particular region.
Corporations don't necessarily have that complete freedom, okay? Well, we do have a corporation. Johnson Controls is headquartered after its merger with Tyco in Ireland, which was done for tax reasons. But the tax laws have been modified to change that benefit, because income earned in the United States is going to be taxed in the United States regardless of the place of headquartering. Okay, so moving headquarters for corporations has far more to do with where the income is earned and not where the corporation is headquartered. And that's kind of the adjustment that's been made. But like I said, if the intent of a corporate tax reduction is to promote investment rather than to just promote the amount of cash that is in the coffers of a corporation, then reducing the tax rate actually has an invidious negative effect. And we found that out with the corporate tax reduction during the period of during the Donald Trump tax reduction, which was that we got a far greater amount of stock buybacks, which was the result of corporations having lots of money and not having such very good investment opportunities, so such that when they measured the benefit of the expenditure of the dollar, they improved their earning per share more by buying the share back than they did by making the investment.
So, Dave, let me ask you the flip side of your argument. So she's talking about, you're talking about what her raising the corporate tax is going to render. Donald Trump is talking about cutting the corporate tax even more. What are your thoughts about that? What is that going to render?
I don't think you have to cut the corporate tax.
No, he's talking about doing it, Dave. It's not whether he has clearly stated he wants to cut the corporate tax to 21%. Okay.
Well, that would still have to pass through the House and the Senate.
Well, so would Kamala Harris.
So.
Same difference.
Right? If they eliminate the filibuster, which is what the Democratic Party has mentioned, it will pass. It will pass.
Well, you're assuming that they're going to win and be in a position to do that. You're assuming that they're going to win Congress and the Senate.
Well, the fact here's the other fact, and that is that very few corporations pay the corporate tax rate, or anything close to it. Okay, and it is a graduated tax rate, actually. What we're talking about is the marginal rate for the tax. It is not a flat corporate tax rate. So small corporations that earn smaller or quite small amounts of money don't pay that marginal rate.
All right. Dave, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, that's it. I don't know what happened to the time, but it flew by.
It did. And I don't know how to say what to say. I can't speak Portuguese, but I hope the Packers play well in Brazil tonight.
All right. So I'll be back at 4:00 in Dominic Sylvia's seat one last time. Thank you, Calvin, for everything for this week. You know, short week, right? All right. And up next, Greg Bach, as he fills in for Jane Mattner. See you guys. I'll see you guys later.
Then there would be over 5.5 billion people doing the Macarena. Here, let me count them for you. One person doing the Macarena. Two people doing the Macarena. Yeah, three people doing the Macarena. I love it. Four people doing the Macarena.
Dale a tu cuerpo alegría, Macarena. Tu cuerpo es para darle alegría y cosa buena. Dale a tu cuerpo alegría, Macarena.
That's 3,200,563,000.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, be here next time when our old friend Brady Ewing, former Wisconsin Badgers, stops by with his annual picks, and our friend Peter Rapine from EPOM's World with a week in review. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Pump 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing? Dollar driver.
It takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or ticket.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you're harassing
me. I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
You can always continue the conversation on social media.
Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.